Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Brian.
Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. And today's sermon text is taken from the second half of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. The context of this scripture is for believers in Christ to no longer walk like unbelievers. To no longer set their patterns of conduct to the worldly ways. To no longer hold a lifestyle like an unbeliever. And the key words in this text is no longer. Because there are plenty of times when we all fell short of God's glory. Plenty of times we all turned our back on God and chosen our own way rather than God's. And today's message will provide a few points on how to help walk in your Christian life and not according to the worldly ways in your own ignorance. Because when we walk as the Gentiles walk, we are essentially denying God and the law is written in our hearts. The Apostle Paul is the author of Ephesians, and he used the term Gentiles not as an ethnic background, but a description of people who hate God's law. People that have given themselves over to being ignorant. People that are greedy. People that are just selfish with hardened hearts and love the worldly ways. People known as children of wrath. In our natural state as human beings, we are all born with a sin nature that is corrupt and is referred to as the flesh. We are all children of wrath. Until we put our trust and faith in Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior over our lives. And through this faith in Christ, we are spiritually born. We are redeemed, spiritually adopted. The Holy Spirit comes to reside in you, thus making us a child of God. In John chapter 1, verse 12 reads, He gave the right to become a child of God to those who believe in His name. And there are many people that think we are all children of God. By nature, we are all children of wrath. By nature, we are all children of the evil one. God only had one begotten Son, Jesus. And by putting our faith in Him, God spiritually adopts us into the kingdom of God, into the family of God. That is the only way to become a child of God. Through His Son, Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Submit to Him. And the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, provides warnings against worldliness. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 read, Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So the question is, how is your walk? Examine yourselves. Do you conduct yourself like a child of God? Or do you conduct yourself like a child of wrath, walking in your own ignorance? Do you set your heart on the world and its pleasures? Or are you going to fully submit to Christ? Fully surrender to Christ. Which brings us to our first point. To fully surrender is to give God complete control over your life. Hand over the steering wheel and let God do the driving. He knows where He wants to take your life, what direction to go. He knows where He wants you to end up. But the problem is, most of us think that we know. Most people submit to God, but they submit to God on their own terms. To truly submit to God, you need to submit to Him on His terms. Remember, His ways are not our ways, nor our ways His ways. Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Do you? Because the inner battle between the spirit and the flesh determine who wins the desires of the heart. And this battle presents a stumbling block for a lot of believers in their walk. They're too busy playing hopscotch between the ways of the world and the ways of Christ. What happens when you're doing this? When you're playing hopscotch between the ways of the world and the ways of Christ? You're unstable. You're off balance. And you're going to fall. Why? Because you're not fully planted in the firm foundation, which is Christ. Amen. And James 1:8 refers to this as a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Is this the type of loving attitude to have towards Christ? What would Jesus say? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And loving Christ doesn't mean putting on Christ on Sunday mornings, then living like hell the rest of the week. No. You can't have both ways. It's one or the other. And Luke 16:13 says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else be loyal to the one and despise the other. It's hard to walk in the ways of Christ if your head is always in the toilet. If you are in Christ, stop dipping your toes in the ways of Satan. Fully submerge yourself in God. And unlike that Stevie Wonder song, God doesn't want us to be His part-time lover. No. We are called to be a living sacrifice with our whole heart. To fully surrender is to listen to God. Listen to the Holy Spirit that abides in you. The Holy Spirit resensitizes you with a new conscience to the things that are wrong, to the things that are not of God. Your conscience is filled with the divine viewpoint now. The key is to listen to it. For example, before you came into Christ, to use or hear the Lord's name as a cuss word probably didn't bother you. But now that you're in Christ, it should. That's because the Holy Spirit is resensitizing you to the things that are not of God, to the things that are wrong. So submit to God 100%. Not 90, He wants 100%. The second point is to not conform yourselves to your former lust. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23 read, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The apostle is instructing us to get rid of our former lifestyle. Repent. Turn away from it because it continues to grow corrupt. And God will change our minds by renewing our thoughts, by renewing our attitude, so that we are in the likeness of God, reflections of His Son, Jesus. One of Max Lucado's books sums up this point quite well. The title of the book is, God Loves You Just the Way You Are, but He Refuses to Leave You That Way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. God loves you just the way you are, but He refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. The renewing of your mind means to become imitators of Christ, to walk in love as Christ has loved us, to be holy because He is holy, and as obedient children, not to conform to the patterns of this world, but be different, be like Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 read, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given Himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Of fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. The chapter concludes with, therefore, do not be partakers with them. With a renewed mind, we are no longer living for ourselves, but presenting yourself to God as a living sacrifice. The laws are written in your heart, and because of God, we are free from giving into the desires of the flesh. We have the power to say no to the flesh because of God. And walking in Christ at times isn't easy. We are called to obey God, to suffer for Him, because He suffered for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, it states, to conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Not a frightened fear, but a fear of dishonoring God. For example, when you were teenagers and your parents left you home alone for the night, and before they left, they told you no one is allowed in the house, did you obey them? Well, chances are in your ignorance, you didn't. You didn't listen. You had people over. You did some drinking, other things. Then afterwards lied about it to your parents until you got caught. Your parents found that beer bottle, or your neighbor ratted on you. And your lame excuse was, it wasn't that bad, and everybody else does it. Isn't this the cause for many people's actions nowadays, because everybody else is doing it? God knows what everybody else is doing. But as a child of God, He cares about what you're doing. You're called to be different, not to be conformed to this world, to be the voice of good and not the echo of evil. And if on the other hand you obeyed your parents, why? Was it that fear of disappointing them? Was it that fear of breaking their trust? Fear of letting them down? Well, use that same fear for your Heavenly Father. Strive to glorify Him with your walk. And let it help you not to conform to your former lust. Let it help you resist temptations of this world, which is my final point. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. God tells us to resist the temptations of the world. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, nor give place to the devil. It means don't open the door to the devil by sinning. Resist him and he will flee from you. And if you're not under total submission to God, then the devil will use anything against you or through you against others. For example, lusts of the flesh, lust of the eyes. This is one of Satan's tools to cause people to fall, marriages to end. Set your affections on the things above and not on the things of this world. And if you're ever in a situation where you just don't know what to do, one of the best questions you can use to serve you is ask, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? Because Jesus was tempted in every way, but never gave way. What did Jesus do when the devil tried to tempt him? He quoted scripture. Jesus said to the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve. He used Scripture. Why? Because the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That is why it's important in our walk to get into the Bible. It's spiritual food for the soul. What happens if you eat once a week? If you would eat once a week, you'd shrink, you'd malnourish, you'd get sick. Same thing with the Bible, your soul. Coming to church once a week is not enough to grow in spirit and grow in wisdom. You ought to be active learners of the Word. That will help your walk. I remember when a person wronged me at work, and my fellow co-worker told me to get back at him the same way. And my response was from 1 Peter 3:9. I said, no, I'm not going to return evil for evil. Use the Word. He snickered at me, but it pierced him. He walked away. Because no one gives a response like that, because that's words from God. Those are His words. His words pierce right through you. That's why it's good to use them. These words should jump off the page of this Bible and bounce, go through you. As active learners of the Word. So don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Resist temptation. Use your daily walk to glorify God. In conclusion, our walk in Christ is a marathon and not a sprint. Through the help of God, He will take away those ungodly habits. And some areas may take more time than others to give way and produce fruit. But don't condemn yourselves. We will continue to make mistakes. The wonderful thing is that we have a God that forgives us. A God that restores us, and a God that loves us. And despite all the temptations and the ways of the world, He will help us in our walk. He will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that as obedient children, we glorify You daily in our walk. That we walk according to Your will and not our own. I ask that You help us stay on track, on the narrow road. And if we sway to the right, or if we sway to the left, that You will pull us back on track, Father. Father, none of this would be possible without Your only begotten Son, Jesus. We are so grateful and thankful for Your Lord. Thankful for our Lord and Savior that continues to restore us daily. Father, I pray that we lift our hearts up to You outside of these walls where it truly matters. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now please offer one another a sign of peace.